Okay, this is our second and final talk about Ruth. Okay, the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. We started last week and we're going to finish it off this week. It's only, I think, four chapters. This is an amazing story. It's not just a love story between a woman and her mother-in-law. It's a love story between a woman and a man, but it's a love story between God and us. It works on three different levels. It's a beautiful story if you read it as God showing his love to us. Okay, so last week, quick recap. Last week we talked about the fact that they came from Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, literally translated, means house of bread. The place where your need is going to be provided. And they were in the middle of a famine, okay, and there was no bread in the house. They were in Bethlehem and they were all starving. But God wants to meet our needs. We also talked last week about stepping out of your comfort zone. You know, just not staying hidden behind this little mask that we put on, staying in our little seat and not doing something new. People live with self-inflicted limitations on their lives, not believing that they're good enough, not believing that they've got gifts and talents. Anyone with a gift or a talent for the laptop is welcome to join the team. Then finally, last week we said that Ruth got an opportunity to leave. She got an opportunity to leave her mother-in-law and go back to her family and false gods, but she stuck with the original plan. She was faithful to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she was faithful to God, and we need to be the same. So this week, I'm going to talk about faithfulness and obedience and how they led to Ruth's blessing. So Ruth and Naomi had experienced tragedy. Their husbands had died. Both of them had lost their husbands. So here they were, completely penniless. They had no money, no husbands to provide for them, and they only had each other. But God was about to turn it around. God still had a good plan for them, and he plans to give them back their dreams. Might be a slightly different dream with a different husband, but he plans to give them back their dream. When the enemy destroys one dream, God always has a new dream for us. He can always replace it. You know, if the old vision's looking a bit tarnished, God can put a wee bit of glitter on it and sparkle it up a bit, or he can give us a new vision. He can give us something new. So Ruth and Naomi arrived back in Bethlehem with no family except each other, no hope, and no food yet again. All right? So the first thing God did was provide. There was an Old Testament law, it's in Leviticus, and this Old Testament law said to the people that owned fields, you will not reap the corners of the field. You will leave the four corners of the field with the grain just lying there and the crops lying there, and you will not reap it. You will leave that food for the poor and the stranger so that they can eat. So the poor and the stranger in this story is Ruth. She's poor and she's a stranger in a foreign land. She doesn't know her, doesn't know anybody except her mother-in-law. So this poor widow was in a foreign country, and she had this opportunity to go and glean in the fields. She gleaned in the corners to get the grain so they could crush it down and make flour and make bread, and their immediate needs were met of her and Naomi. It was the first food bank in history, okay? And it was God's idea. God said, leave the corners of the field for the poor and the needy. He's always got a heart of love towards people. But God had more for Ruth. I'm not just going to meet your needs. I'm going to give you more. I think that's a prophetic word for someone today. God is saying to you, I'm not going to be just enough. I'm going to be more than enough. I'm not just going to meet the need you have now. I'm going to meet every need you have until you take your last breath. That's what God wants to do. So we're in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1, and it says this. There was a relative, a kinsman of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the same family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Ruth said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Okay, so Ruth's in the field and she's working hard. She's in those corners. Now, I don't know what season of the year it was, but in Israel, it's hot. In Bethlehem, I've been to Bethlehem. It was hot, okay? It's warm, it's maybe 30 degrees, it's maybe 35 degrees, maybe 40 degrees. And she's in a long robe in the corner of the field doing back-breaking work. Anyone done potato picking, or as we call it, tatty picking? Anyone done that in a lifetime? Yes, done that, helped my mum. And you're there, and my poor mum's back's breaking, and I was about 5 years old, and I'm picking up potatoes and putting them in the wooden crate for her. So she's doing back-breaking work. Sometimes we need to work to meet our own needs. We've got a generation, I think, who think, I'll just sit down and do nothing and everything will come to me. But sometimes we need to work out what it is we need. Get a plan and do it. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know? And sometimes it's us that need to do something about our situation. Sometimes it's us that need to do something about the situation. Several years ago now, maybe 15 years ago, Neil and I, well, I was in the kitchen this day, and we've got the brick wall, and I could see something shining at the bottom of the brick wall. I thought, what is that? And I went over and had a look, and it was a puddle of water about the size of a watermelon, you're like, that size, puddle of water on the floor, and it was a really stormy day. Then I realized the rainwater was coming through the brick wall of my house and through the electric cable box and running down the wall and making a puddle on the floor. So we decided we needed to fix that. It was fairly crucial. And so we fixed it, but we did a lot of other work on the house at the same time. We just thought, we'll just do it all in a one-er. We're going to be in a mess, so might as well be in a big mess. And we had to take out a loan for thousands of pounds to pay for all this. And so we paid back some of the loan. A year or so had gone back. We paid back a good chunk of it, but I think there was about £10,000 still to pay. It had been much more than that. So we'd paid a lot of money. And there was still some money to pay. So I'm in my quiet time this day, and I'm just saying to God, God, I really want to pay that loan off, because we don't like being in debt. Okay, so I said this little prayer, help us to pay that loan off. Now, I'd love to say that £10,000 arrived the next day in an envelope through the letterbox, but it didn't, okay? That did not happen. But within about 3 or 4 days, the phone rang, and I picked the phone up, and it was a school offering me a 6-month contract, full-time job, loan paid. But I had to go out and I worked full-time because I had a young child, so I wasn't working at that point, but I went out and I had a child, she was that young. I went out and I worked full-time for 6 months and saved the money and paid off the loan. But sometimes we need to do something. We can do something. If we can't do anything, that's fine, but if we can do something, God will supply our needs, but sometimes the supply depends on us. So let's go back to Ruth. It says, talks about this relative, Boaz. And it says, Boaz was a man of great wealth. He owned land. Clearly, he owned servants. It was his workers that was in the field. And he was a relation. You know, sometimes it's not good news when the relations turn up. But if they turn up in the rich, that's fantastic, you know. Get the kettle on, welcome them in, because you've got a millionaire in the family. So it said, didn't even just say he was kind of rich. It said he had great wealth. This man was stinking rich, okay? And he's related to them, which was fantastic. And it also says in here, Boaz was a kinsman of Naomi. He was related to Naomi through her dead husband. And the fact that he was a kinsman of Naomi, he was now a kinsman of Ruth, because Ruth's related to Naomi by marriage. So in the Jewish law, it said, if there was a living relative, it was their duty to marry the widow and provide for her. If there was a near relative, if there was a kinsman. And they called it a kinsman redeemer. That's what they called it, because now Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. And a kinsman redeemer was able to take this poor widow and wipe out all of their debt, meet all of their needs, love and care for her, and marry her, okay? And start a family to carry on the name of the dead husband. That was what they did. That was part of their culture. A kinsman redeemer was meant to do all of that. So let's read a little bit. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 5. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this, you know, in the field? It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now. Then Boaz said to Ruth, do not go and glean in any other field, nor go from here, but stay close by my women. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So immediately that Boaz finds out about her, obviously the whole town's talking about Naomi and Ruth, and Ruth's got a good reputation now as a hard worker. So Boaz approaches her. He doesn't even know who she is, but immediately he shows her favor. Immediately there's blessing there. And he says, the young men won't touch you. They're not going to come near you. They're not going to harm you. You're safe in my field. And later on, in verse 16, he even says to his workers, I want you to leave handfuls of grain on purpose. I want you to deliberately drop handfuls of grain on the ground so Ruth can pick them up, so she can take home more grain for Naomi. Boaz says, stay close to the women because there'll be more grain there as well. She wasn't meant to be near the workers. She was meant to be in the corners. So Boaz had already begun to release blessings on Ruth and Naomi. Their lives had already begun to change because of this kinsman redeemer. I could go around the room right now and I could ask every single person in the room, how did your life change when you asked Jesus to be your Lord? What was the difference? And some people might say, oh, I just had peace. I never used to have peace. I could sleep at night. I never used to be able to sleep at night. I was always worried. There will be some kind of immediate blessing for asking Jesus into your life. The minute you encounter the living God, something amazing, favor is on your life. Something good begins to happen. And that's what happened with Ruth the minute she encountered her kinsman redeemer. I want us to notice this, that when Boaz found Ruth gathering the grain, she was in an obscure corner of the field. She was stuck over there or stuck over there gathering the grain, probably bent over double, trying to get enough grain for her and Naomi to have some bread for their supper. He might not have even been able to see her face. No one else even really recognized her, perhaps. But he even had to ask his workers, who's this person that's taking the grain from the corner of the field? So she was in obscurity. She was just stuck there in her poverty. Grief and pain and poverty had put Ruth in that corner, not God. Not God. She'd lost her husband. They'd lost all their money and they had no food. And the pain and the grief of all of that, that's what put her in the corner. It was not God. So here's my question today. What put you in a corner? What has pushed you so far down that it's hard to get back up? That it's hard to pick yourself up and believe for those blessings and believe for the situation to turn around? Who told you to sit there and be quiet because no one wants you? Who told you that? I remember one time in church, someone who I thought was one of my closest friends came up to me at the end of a service and said to me, Sandra, people are sick of the sound of your voice because I'd brought a prophetic word. You know, with friends like that, you don't need very many enemies, do you? We've all had situations like that. We've all had times when people haven't wanted us, when people don't like the look of us. You know, we do it ourselves. We switch someone on TV and I'll say, oh, they're my favorite speaker. And someone say, oh, I don't like their voice. And someone say, oh, they look a bit weird. Their hair's a bit funny. You know, we judge people. Don't look at me today. Don't look at whether you like my shoes. Oh, they're new, by the way. So don't look at whether you like my shoes. Don't look at whether you like my shirt. Look at what I'm carrying. Look at what I'm carrying in the spirit realm. Look at the anointing of God on the person. Don't look whether you like their hairstyle or not, or their new glasses. Look at what the person's carrying. Okay, you're carrying something in God. No one's got the right to put you in the corner. You know, remember the film Dirty Dancing? I don't even like to mention the name in the preach. And Johnny comes back at the end and he says, no one puts baby in the corner. No one puts you in the corner. God's not putting you in the corner. Only the things of the enemy, the attack of life and people put you in the corner, but not God. No one puts Anne in the corner. No one puts Eleanor in the corner. No one puts Helen in the corner. No one puts Donnie in the corner. No one puts you in the corner. Not God. Okay? So here's my prophetic word for us today. You are not obscure to God. He sees you and he knows you're there. No matter how quiet it is right now in your life, God knows exactly where you're at. Everything about you. But if you thought I was excited before, I'm about to get really excited. Because now comes the turnaround. Now comes the suddenly of God. Because Ruth was just being faithful and obedient and faithful and obedient. She ate it for breakfast, lunch, and tea. Faithfulness and obedience. She just kept following God. And God knew exactly where she was in that little obscure corner. And he was about to do a suddenly. Everything is about to change because Ruth remained faithful and obedient. So are you ready for it? Tie those shoes in a double knot in case they come flying off today. Are we ready for the revelation of God for what he did in Ruth's life? Okay, this is it. Boaz calls Ruth out of the corner and into the middle of the harvest. Into the middle of the place of supply, into the middle of the place of provision, into the middle of the place of more than enough, way more than enough. Leave handfuls of blessings for our people. More than enough. He's calling every single one of us. I don't know who put you in the corner, but you're not meant to be in the corner. I know in my life, the enemy has tried so many times to shut me up and put me in a corner. Clearly, it's not worked. Okay? But that does not mean that there's not days when I get up and I feel useless or worthless or not good enough. He still comes against me. He still tells me my preaching's not good enough. He still comes against me and says, why am I doing this? I should just retire. He still comes against every single one of us. His goal is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy and put us in a corner. And God is calling you out today into the middle of the harvest. Into the middle of what he's got for you, into the middle of his blessing. He calls Ruth into the middle of all that God has for her, and God calls us into that too. Abundant life, abundant blessing in the presence of God. So get into it. Get into it. And next time the enemy tells you that you're not as worthy as the next person because you're not on a microphone, you need to rebuke that lie. You need to get back into the promises of God. Boaz is Ruth's kinsman, redeemer, and he saves her from the circumstances. Now, if you thought that was good news, I've got even better news today. Give me a wave if you want some better news. Good. I've got some even better news today, and it's this, and it's prophetic from the Bible for us today, that Boaz is Ruth's kinsman, redeemer, but Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The story of love between Boaz and Ruth and everything he does for us is God shouting and screaming in the Old Testament towards the New Testament. This is your kinsman redeemer, and there's one still to come, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is our kinsman redeemer in the exact same way. As Boaz loved and saved Ruth, Jesus Christ loves and saves us. You know, we said the role of kinsman redeemer was to wipe out debt, to meet the needs of the person, and to love and care for them. Well, Jesus wiped out our debt of sin at the cross when he gave his life for us. He loves us with an everlasting love, the Bible says. He is our kinsman redeemer, and he wants to save us and provide for us now in this generation, in the corner that we're in, that he's calling us out of. If God brought Ruth out of a corner, he can bring us out of our corner too. God wants to reach down and provide for our needs. So give your needs to him. Don't keep picking them up and taking them back. Just give them over and say, this is the need I've got. I'm giving it to my daddy in heaven, and he's taking care of it. Don't pick it up and carry it around. God wants to leave handfuls of blessings for us to pick up. Just innumerable. We can't even count the blessings he wants. Just like Boaz gave the instructions to leave for Ruth, God is saying, well, if I'm the Redeemer in the future that was to come in the New Testament, I want you to get the same picture, that I want to leave handfuls of blessings for you. Every little hair on your head is numbered. I know every need that you have. So when was the last time we counted the blessings that God has given us? Or have we been too busy complaining about the corner that we're in? Too busy complaining about the negative. I don't have this yet, and I don't have that yet. And I thought that would be settled by now. When really, if we started counting his blessings, we'd be so tickled pink, we'd have a grin from ear to ear, just counting the blessings of God. Boaz didn't overlook Ruth, and God has not overlooked us. Others may not see your faithfulness or your worth or your value, but God does. So if the enemy tells you you've got no worth and value, you really need to break that lie, because God is saying through this story and through his word, you do. God sees everything and he'll reward it. If people aren't rewarding you, God will. One day, God is going to walk right up to you and say, come out of the corner. Come out of the corner. But until then, keep being faithful like Ruth. Keep being obedient like Ruth to the plan that God has called you to do. And God, who has that good plan for you, is calling you into it. Be faithful in the little things like Ruth was, and God will pour out big blessings. I read this in my daily reading. If you will do the little things like they are big, God will bless them and use them. So, you know, just taking out your neighbor's bin, it's a little thing. You know, maybe they're elderly, maybe they can't manage it, but it's not a little thing to God. That's a big thing, because you've thought of someone else. Sending that text is a big thing. Do the little things because God sees them. They're important to him, and he will bless them. Send the text. Offer to help. Give them your time. You know, sit and have a cuppa. Make a phone call to them. Sometimes people just need some time. And that's a very precious commodity these days. But bless someone today because God is watching. Let's go back to the story, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2. And this is Naomi now speaking to Ruth. Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself with olive oil, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it will be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, and Ruth said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Okay. Isn't Naomi the regular little schemer? You know, she's got a plan of action here. And she's about to do some matchmaking. There's no need to go to match.com when Naomi is around. She'll sort it out for you, ladies and gentlemen. So she says Ruth was to wash and change her clothes. In other words, she was to do some preparation. So if you don't feel you're out of the corner yet, maybe you're still in a time of preparation. Maybe I'm still in a time of preparation. I felt it was really significant for Ruth that she had to wash, because she was washing away the past and change her clothes, put her best garment on. Now, Ruth may well have still been in widow's clothing. She might have still been dressed as a widow. And her mother-in-law was saying, take off your widowhood. Take it off, Naomi. Take off the mourning. Take off the grief. Whatever it is we're grieving, take it off. Wash it away. Change your clothes. Put on something new in physically, but put on something new in the spirit realm. And then she was to anoint herself with oil. In the Bible, whenever anyone is anointed, it sets them apart for a purpose. Ruth was to be anointed with oil, set apart for a purpose, and it was the new plan that God had for her, the new dream that God was going to do for Ruth. Ruth was shaking off her old thinking and preparing for a new mindset, one filled with hope for the future because she'd lost all of her hope. She needed to start to hope again. If you've lost your hope, you need to start to hope again. If you've lost your dream, you need to start to dream again. If you've forgotten that God loves you, you need to say 50 times a day, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. You need to fall back in love with the God that loves you, who is your kinsman redeemer. So here's a question. Do we need a new mindset? Do we need to wash anything away? Because preparation can start today, just changing our mindset. But here is my next revelation. This is a Bobby Dazzler, so if you want to write this one down, it's this. Here is the revelation that God gave me from this. Preparation sets the stage for a blessing, and preparation is vital to God's plan. He's not going to just slot you right in there as the commander of the army if you don't even know how to put the armor on. Okay? We've got to do the preparation in God. We've got to read the word. We've got to pray to him. We've got to speak in tongues. We've got to do all the preparation. So preparation sets the stage for a blessing. And the preparation is vital to God's plan. The preparation that Neil and I do, not just for a Sunday, but every single day of our life, is vital to what God wants to do in this church. If we don't get up and have our quiet time, if we don't go walk and pray in tongues or whatever it is we feel like doing that day, then the anointing is just not going to flow the same. So preparation is vital. Ruth totally submitted to Naomi. She was obedient. She did what was asked. That was her preparation. And then she submitted to Boaz and did what he asked. And now the stage was set for a blessing. She set the stage. She'd done what she was asked. She'd done the preparation. The stage is set. Now it's just a waiting game, waiting on God's timing. So let's see the blessing. Ruth chapter 3, verse 8. Now it happened at midnight that the man Boaz was startled. And there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I." So Boaz knew the rules. He knew their culture. And he knew exactly what Ruth was asking by submitting to him and lying at his feet. She was saying to him, she was asking him to redeem her and marry her. That's what she was asking. So Ruth went and did the asking, okay? But there was one relative who was closer, and he had first choice. So Boaz went to the city gate, because again, that was their culture. If you want to do a business meeting, buy or sell a field, redeem a wife, you went to the city gate where all the elders sat around and witnessed the transaction. They witnessed what was happening. And in years to come, say, "I witnessed that. You did sell them that field." You know, that did happen. So they were witnesses. So off he goes to the city gate. And he finds the man. He meets this relative to discuss Ruth's situation. You know, maybe a distant cousin or something. I don't know. But the man gives up all claim to Ruth. He went, "No, my life's complicated enough. I don't have room to take on Ruth as my wife and redeem her." What he actually says is, "This may affect my own inheritance by having another wife. You know, this may affect my own inheritance. I give up all claim," which meant the claim was Boaz's and his alone. He was free to marry Ruth. Okay, let's hear the wedding bells ringing, you know. Here comes the bride, because Boaz marries Ruth, and they have a baby. Now Naomi has a grandson to nurse, and they all live happily ever after. It's a happy ending. It's a fantastic story. This is what it said in my daily reading. God introduced Ruth to her new husband in the field where she worked each day, and as a result, she ended up married to the boss. That's not bad, eh? She married the millionaire. Ruth didn't need to move fields. She didn't need to move house. She didn't need to move church. God blessed her right where she was. God did it because Ruth was obedient and faithful in the little things. And Ruth and Naomi are blessed, blessed, blessed. The favor of God was all over them. Here's another quote from what I was reading. One moment of God's favor can change your life. He can do it through someone he has already prepared, someone you haven't met yet. Someone you've not even met yet. Many years ago, many, many, many years ago, over 35 years ago, I was thinking, do I marry that one or not? What am I supposed to do here, God? I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know that God had prepared someone on the other side of the world. God had prepared someone else in another place, and I had no idea. I was stressing over this person. Is it yes? Is it no? Is it yes? Is it no? Is it yes? Is it no? And I was stressing so much over this person. And it was like, you know, is it A? Is it B? Is it A? Is it B? And God's going, it's C. You know? It's someone totally different. And he prepared that, and I had no idea. You know, when Naomi and Ruth were widowed. Now, I want you to get this. Picture this. They're widowed. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if there's more grief than that, except maybe losing a child. You know, and they're widowed. And they're drowning in sorrow and loneliness and poverty when God had already prepared someone to bless them with favor. God had already prepared someone who was going to bless them in every way possible while they were just drowning in the circumstances. God had something way above the circumstances. While they were dying of hunger in the corner of the field, God had a harvest in the middle, already waiting for them, that he was wanting to call them into. So God had already prepared someone. When Ruth found herself without a husband, God had already prepared Boaz. He'd kept him for Ruth, you know. So here's my last revelation. One moment with God can change our life, and he's already preparing it. He's already setting it in motion. He's already got the right people in place. God moves quickly when the time is right. Neil and I had a 7-week engagement. That was it, 7 weeks to organize a wedding, make the wedding dress, sew my own wedding dress, okay, and organize photographers and everything. I'm not highly recommending it. It was very stressful 7 weeks, but we're on two opposite sides of the world. I had to get permission to stay in the country. I had to get a work permit, a resident visa. So we just had to get married. So we had a 7-week engagement. When God wants to move, he can do it quickly. So here's a prophetic word. God's already preparing your next move. It will be your turn soon. It will be your turn soon. You're not overlooked. He sees everything. Your faithfulness, your obedience. He will say, come out of your corner soon. So keep being faithful. You might not even have to lie down at someone's feet. There's a good side of it. You might not need to lie down at someone's smelly feet, you know. Ruth, I'm finishing. I've got about 3 more lines and I'm finished. But, you know, if nothing's spoken to you so far, open your ears because this is amazing. If you've thought what I've said so far is just absolutely gobsmacking amazing, the next 3 sentences should get you. Ruth, okay? A penniless widow married Boaz and had a son called Obed. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David, an ancestor of Jesus Christ. So faithfulness and obedience meant Ruth was the great-grandmother of a king and related to Jesus. How's that for a blessing? That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join us.